The Fed is wrestling with what it'll take to ensure there is no recession late this year. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Starting today, the guardians of the economy and interest rates at the Federal Reserve will be holding a two-day listening session in Chicago, hearing from outside experts on the challenges of holding this economy together as the 10-year expansion shoots for an 11th. A long roster of Fed officials will be speaking publicly, and their utterances scoured for clues about policy ahead. David Kelly is chief global strategist at J.P. Morgan Funds.
Well, I think the Federal Reserve does have a problem here in that markets are getting scared about the slowness of the global economy and all these trade worry and talk. And because of that, people are beginning to price in Fed rate cuts later on this year. So if they don't intend to deliver them, they're going to have to sort of have a pretty consistent message that everything's okay, because otherwise people are going to more and more expect the Fed will be cutting rates.
And it is a possibility, though, that they might, just a question of managing what their intentions might be.
Well, yes, it is. I mean, the economy is not in recession, but it is weaker than it looks on the surface. We had over 3% growth in the first quarter, but a lot of that was about inventories and short-term movements in trade. It looks like the pace of the economy is about 2%. It's an old expansion, and it wouldn't take a lot to tip it into recession. So it's a bit weaker, and we do think that by the end of the year, the Federal Reserve probably will cut rates, but they just don't want to get hurried into it.
All right. David Kelly at J.P. Morgan Funds, thank you.
Anytime.
A person without visible means of support pulls up in a new Maserati GT or puts down cash on a 10,000-square-foot mansion. Where'd that money come from? Well, investigators in Britain have a new tool to fight corruption. A U.K. judge can now issue what is called an unexplained wealth order. BBC reporter Dominic Casciani has been doing investigative work into dirty money. Thanks for linking up here.
That's fine, David.
What would trigger one of these new unexplained wealth orders?
First of all, the target has to be someone who is known in the jargon as a politically exposed person, basically a foreign politician or one of their family. They have to have assets in the UK and, critically, no seemingly explicable or legitimate source for the vast wealth which they have in Britain. But this power is really about trying to get out corrupt cash, particularly in the British property market.
So it's rather like a search warrant, but for a person's finances.
That's exactly what it's like, Dave. That's a really good analogy, because in the past, it's been very difficult in the UK to get hold of criminal assets. The procedures going through the courts to seize money, even after someone's been convicted, it's just astonishingly slow.
Are there any cases where a big old house has been confiscated?
Well, the most significant one so far has actually been the first, and this is a property belonging to a woman called Zemira Hajieva. She's the wife of the former head of the International Bank of Azerbaijan. She risks at the moment losing her $15 million home just behind the Harrods department store, right in the middle of the most expensive part of West London. She also is the beneficiary of an enormous golf course out near to the Queen's home at Windsor Castle. Those two properties are now at risk of being confiscated unless she can prove that the cash that was used to buy those properties didn't come from money that her husband stole. And he's in prison at the moment for Azerbaijan for an enormous embezzlement.
Fascinating story. The BBC's Dominic Casciani. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You know Marketplace is a source you trust for information about the economy and how it affects our lives. We're also a nonprofit news organization, and we're counting on listeners like you to support this kind of journalism. Any donation helps, but if you give $30 right now, it'll be matched dollar for dollar by another one of our generous supporters, the Candida Fund. Become a Marketplace investor today at marketplace.org, and thank you. 30 years ago today, the Chinese government brutally crushed a demonstration in Beijing's Tiananmen Square, where students and workers were calling for democratic reform. China had been undergoing market reforms for about a decade, and the protesters felt the system was rigged in favor of people with political connections. 3 decades after the massacre, China's economy is now the world's second largest. Discussion of Tiananmen is forbidden in China, but we sent our Shanghai correspondent Jennifer Pak to find out, in economic terms, what is weighing on the minds of young people now.
Noodle shops and bubble tea houses line the entrance to Shanghai University, where I meet Sun Wenhao. He'll graduate in 2 years with a master's degree in mechanical engineering.
The main worry for me is housing prices. They're very high compared to the average salaries.
Even if he is okay with living in an outlying neighborhood of Shanghai, he's still looking at spending at least $460,000 for a two-bedroom place. He tells me to make a down payment, he'll have to rely on the bank of mom and dad and even both sets of grandparents. And he needs to own property, because as a man, that's the only way he'll be deemed marriage material in many parts of China. Literature major Lindsay Zhu doesn't face the same pressure from her family to buy property and get married. But she comes from eastern Anhui province, where jobs are hard to find.
My parents want me to strive for a better life in the big cities, but I don't care for that. I'm not that materialistic. I just want a comfortable life, and that means I won't have to look for a job with a 996 schedule.
That's shorthand for a 72-hour work week. But she might not have much of a choice. There are a record 8 million students graduating from China's colleges this year. And by the time Lindsay Zhu graduates in 2 years, competition for jobs may be even worse. Her friend, Yosinar Zhao, is more concerned about health.
I've had some close friends in the past 2 years who suddenly got diagnosed with a severe illness and died within a couple of months. Since we were born under the one-child policy, the parents spent a lot to try to save them, and now they're childless.
She wants to stay healthy, and to her, that means a better social safety net when she enters the workforce. In Shanghai, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.
Thank you for that, Jennifer. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.